It is a Monday. On that day, grand final week or otherwise, we speak to Rami Hayder. He's the NRL economist. He's also advising the general manager of football up there at the Brisbane Broncos. I'm telling you, he is no lackey. He is on the line. Hello, Rami.
Jimmy Smith, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm really well, mate. Excited about grand final week. There's no doubt about that. Lots of people getting stuck in. What's new? It's Monday. So why don't we have a look at the topic that you've set aside for today? And it's quite timely as well, given the fact that we've got two coaches who are into the grand final. Ivan Cleary is there for his fourth time for one win, three times in a row with this Penrith Panthers side. And Brad Arthur, it is all brand new territory. So let's have a look at the coaches and what makes an elite coach. So if we pare it down, Rami, we've got to look at what is the core purpose, what is the role of a coach?
Yeah, Jimmy, I can tell you I am looking forward to the GF, and you know, considering that Ivan's sort of heading into his fourth GF, it's probably you know, timely to start, you know, posing the question, is he an elite coach? Because, you know, we do often speak of those, you know, the Bennetts, the Robinsons and so forth. So,
yes.
You know, when it comes to the core purpose of a coach, former American football coach Vince Lombardi, he considered coaching a form of both sales and teaching, right? So much so that he actually featured in a short training film for sales execs back in the 60s. Now, that video is actually still used in leadership management courses today.
Right? Wow.
And in fact, Dragons, or former Dragons coach, I should say, Wayne Bennett, he made use of that video to motivate his players before the GF in 2010. Right? And another thing is that Bennett wasn't the first to utilize the video. He was actually following the lead of the late Jack Gibson. Right? And so once Jack cancelled training at Cogra, you know, that they'll, you know, following a, you know, a run of losses, and he showed it to the entire club, all three grades, and then they all went on an unbeaten 7-game winning streak from round 9 of 1971. Right,
wow.
And the first grade squad eventually actually progressed to the GF before eventually going down to the Rabbitohs. So the premise of the film, it centres on Lombardi's teaching of salesman type tactics, right? And the idea is that you need a second effort. In a nutshell, the second effort, it's that extra added thrust that you need when you initially are stopped by the opposition team. It's that next effort. You need more determination, more tenacity, and that's what makes all the difference. I could tell you, it's littered with cliches, and it's certainly not for deep thinkers, but it does resonate with players. It does sort of have that inspiring impact. And so that's one of the major roles of coaching, and that is to actually sell your message.
Okay, that's interesting too when we say it's riddled with cliches. I found it here on YouTube. I'm going to might have a look at that one on the train on the way home. And that is that they become cliches after they're spoken for the first time by someone. So I don't know what role that video played in that. So if coaching is teaching, do coaches benefit by, I think Anthony Seibold refers to it as a growth mindset, that is expanding their horizons, doing a bit of training and education themselves?
Yeah, I think what Seibs will be referring to there is, you know, the kind of two-sided mindset, and that is either fixed or growth mindset. A fixed mindset is one to sort of assume that talent will get you there. Growth mindset is more about, you know, instilling that work ethic and constantly striving for growth. And when it comes to teaching, there's actually a lot of coaches that have had teaching degrees and they've transitioned, you know, from the chalkboard to the clipboard.
Yes.
I'll give you some examples here. So Gus Hiddink, former Socceroos coach, Jose Mourinho, AFL's Alistair Clarkson, timely to mention his name now, Brendan Bolton, Rugby Union's Eddie Jones, Dave Rennie. They're all instances that demonstrate that close connection between teaching and coaching. And if you want to look at it from the NRL perspective, there's many examples too. So you've got Roy Masters was a teacher, Steve Folkes, Alan Jones, Anthony Seibold, we just mentioned there. He's got a teaching degree. Warren Ryan, Des Hasler, Michael Maguire. There's a disproportionately high number of coaches who've successfully switched from a career in education. And it indicates, it really does indicate that the two professions, they involve a very similar methods. Similar methods and skills.
Yeah. Brian Smith was another one.
Yes.
That had
Daniel Anderson.
Daniel Anderson. Peter Mulholland, obviously, had a
yep.
coaching background as well. So what about the selling? That you mentioned that selling part of coaching. What are you, in essence, selling? Are you selling the, hey, have belief in me and I'll get you there? Is that you know, paraphrasing what you are selling?
100%. It's all about belief, right? Yeah. It's the most valuable of goods. And belief is what drives the value of everything, right? And I'll give an example that you actually taught me once, Jimmy. Okay? Ooh. So sit back and just sort of listen closely. So we've got women across the globe, right? They're willing to pay exorbitant amounts of cash to dunk their bodies in baths of raw donkey milk. Why? They believe it's going to improve their appearance, right? Yep. It's going to reduce their wrinkles. And the belief that this product will make a difference is enough for these women to go ahead and use their tradie husband's credit cards and soak themselves into that pool of milk bliss, we might call it. So does it really work? The lactose actually burns the skin. It's a bit like, I'm just trying to think of there's a term there. It's like a mild acidic.
Yeah.
Got on the wrinkles. And so, you know, why do so many women actually still use that donkey milk and pay so much? It comes with a story, okay? And you've told me this story about ancient queen of Egypt, Cleopatra.
Yes.
She's considered one of the most beautiful women on earth, and females across the globe that, you know, they still proclaim her attractiveness. And such is sort of that perception of her appearance that, women, again, as I said, they're willing to spend so much on it because it came with a story. And the point is that when you're selling a message, you need to sell belief in it. And the best way to do that is with a story. So narratives, analogies, metaphors, right? You got to capture the imagination.
Yeah.
You can't just waltz in as a coach and just sort of blurt out, you know, those real typical cliches, you know, play for the jersey, come on, boys. That doesn't work. You got to capture their belief.
Yeah.
And you know, even if you compare it to Indigenous Australians, right? That's how they pass on their important knowledge, right? About their culture and their values and so forth from generation to generation. It's all about stories, right? And being passed on from one to the other. So game plans, they become more potent when you align it to a story, when you align it to sort of a purpose that's behind there. And the benefit of that is that you, as a coach, you remain fresh for your veteran players, right? You're not going to get kind of bored. And quality storytelling, it's truly is a powerful tool and something that the elite coaches use.
And just to let you know, the modern woman would use her own credit card that she's earned her own money from. So just to let you
Absolutely.
Know on that one. I remember Gus Gould used to always say that, like, he'd say to us on this one, going, okay, well, this is the play that we're going to use for this and this is for this team. And then the following week he'd said, I know I talked about it last week, but this week, this is we're going to add to that, and then this is the team that we're lining up to get. So there's a little bit of storyteller in all those coaches, aren't there? I want you to answer the question, Rami. Is Ivan Cleary, if he wins this grand final on Sunday, a two-time premiership winner, is he now one of the modern-day greats?
Look, I'll tell you, it's a tricky one because from the people I've spoken to, my understanding is that Ivan is a delegator. And he's willing to sort of assign control to you know, his assistants. So it's very hard to pinpoint exactly where that success is coming from. Perhaps it's the belief in each other, right? Mm. So he's working so cohesively with his assistants. But, from my understanding, Ivan's all about culture. He's not about kind of the tactical side of things, but more about driving cohesion and culture. And it's certainly having a positive effect, isn't it? They're one of the most successful teams of the modern era. So it would be impossible to deny him being in that category of an elite coach.
And Rod McQueen used to always talk about the great Wallabies coach, about how people would come into the system and say, well, that Rod McQueen does nothing. But he had delegated to everyone else to do certain roles, and he oversaw the lot of them. Success comes in many forms. Rami, as always, very interesting. Have you got a prediction for this week for us, Rami?
Look, pretty much all year I've kind of, you know, it's not a surprise, but sense that the Panthers will get up. And I think unless something sort of major occurs, like some sort of injury or send-off or something of that nature, I really can't see anything but a Panthers victory and you know, a well-deserved one at that.
Thank you, Rami. Enjoy your week, mate. We'll speak next Monday.
You take care, Jimmy.